Welcome to another edition of The Broadcast, and I'm Vicky Barcelona. And with me, as always, is Sarah.
Oh, hey.
Sarah, what's our contact info? We weren't here last week, so.
I know. I missed you.
I missed you, too.
Well, we have an Instagram. It's the broadcast 999. You can call or text us at 253-778-6029 or email us at thebroadcast999@gmail.com.
And I do have a couple of messages that we were sent.
Woo! You can always message us on the Instagram.
Yes. One of them being from Michael, the musical trucker. It says, hey, ladies, I just thought I'd give Vicky a heads up on Amazon Barbecue Place. An amazing barbecue place that I don't know if she knows about in Marysville. It's called Jeff's Texas Style Barbecue, and they have amazing food for a great price, and they are fans of the station. Have a great day.
Ooh.
I'm like, I am in the process of trying to find cool places to...
Yeah. Are you a barbecue fan?
Yes. I mean, I worked at a barbecue place, like whiskey barbecue place for 2 years. Oh, I miss it. Like, I'll smell it. I'm like, oh, I miss old work.
Oh.
But then I realize, I'm like, I gained a lot of weight working there because I ate there right. All the time. And my friend was the chef.
Yep.
So.
You get the hookups all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you would got to explore your new neighborhood and find like the bars to go to and like the restaurants that are really good.
And it sucks because I went to one before I even officially closed on the house and like right down the street from my house. And it's like this dirty hole in the wall, and I'm totally blanking on the name right now, and they have karaoke, and it's just...
Oh, sounds like your jam.
Right, but that day, it was girls' night, I had already committed to go, and I started coming down with the flu.
Oh.
And I could feel it.
What was girls' night at this spot?
Yeah, we went to dinner first, and we, like, walked around the casino for a minute.
Got it.
And then we ended up there, and I'm sitting there like, I want to go home.
Yeah, wanting to die a little.
Yeah, and so everyone's like, why don't you drink? I'm like, I really don't. Like, I don't know. And like, I had one drink and it was a hot toddy. Like, okay, grandma. I'm like, but it feels so good on my throat.
Oh, so did you like it when you were there? Minus that you were sick?
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I still, like, you know, do you ever have that where you're like, I have a negative experience at this restaurant and you realize it has nothing to do with the restaurant?
Yeah, you at least got to try it again.
Yeah. Like, there's this other restaurant by my house that I went to, and I remember I freaked out because I got news saying I needed to pay a bunch of money before I closed on my house. And I'm like, how am I supposed to pay this much money?
Mm-hmm.
It was a mistake. Like, I didn't have to pay it. Like, it was like $9,000 they were telling me I needed to pay. And the guy had just made an error, didn't look at all my paperwork. And it's like, no, she gets money back. So,
mistake.
But I'm sitting there like at dinner, like thinking, where am I going to get $9,000 by Monday? Like,
yeah.
I have 2 days. Where am I getting $9,000? So I have that negative feeling. Every time I look at it, I think of that negative feeling I had. And it has nothing to do with the restaurant. The food was amazing.
I feel like that's like the same when you just get like one dish you didn't like that place or something. You're like, oh, that Thai place has the worst pad Thai. And you're like, okay, well, what about their fried rice, their patsy or their curry or something?
I feel like when restaurant like critics go to places, they need to go like 3 times.
Mm-hmm. And get different things.
Yeah. Like, or even like get one thing, like, you know, what's the staple at the restaurant?
Yeah.
Like, if it's a Thai place, you have to try the pad thai every time because you never know if a chef's having a bad day or
if it's a new chef.
Right.
Or...
I feel like you need to give it at least 2 tries.
Yeah.
3, I think, would be a good safe bet.
Yeah. And then if it sucks all the time, well, don't go back.
Yeah. But it's fun discovering, like, okay, this is going to be my grocery store. I know where my grocery store is. I have like a produce stand right by my house too.
Oh, cool.
So I'm like, I want to go there. Like, I want to go to a bunch of places. I found a brewery like down the road from my house too. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know this was here.
Dude, that's nice. That'll be cool once you kind of get to know the neighborhood. And then maybe there'll be like locals around, you know, that you can
like,
get to know.
I want to be friends.
Yeah.
And I actually live not too far from like not the naval base, but like a naval area, like where a lot of the Navy stuff happens. Like the commissary's there.
Yeah.
A lot of the Navy stuff. Like, I'm right by it.
You can meet some nice Navy men.
Yep. And I think it was funny because I had a guy start following me on Instagram. And he was like, Navy in Marysville. I'm like,
Did you see me? Do you know me?
I'm like, did you run into me at Winco? Was I wearing sweatpants? Did
that
you
was
judge?
Probably me.
Yeah. Did you judge?
Obviously didn't judge too hard if they added you.
But we did get another message. This is kind of going back to our conversation we had a couple episodes ago about being, you know, kind of growing out of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Like one thing I think you thought you'd never grow out of is like your Disney Channel shows.
Oh, the Disney Channel. Yes.
Mine was like, I never thought I'd grow out of like having a house decorated like a teenager or.
Oh, yeah. With all of our photographs and posters.
It's basically a Red Robin. But I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that this time around. So we got a message from Corey from Renton.
Corey.
He says, never too old for Disney Channel shows from back in the day. I'm 30 and I still watch Johnny Tsunami. Sorry, got a lot to catching up on the podcast. It's all good. We helped you catch up just because we didn't have an episode last week.
Yes, exactly.
Mostly because we weren't here that day. So it was fine.
Honestly, I want to go back and watch like Lizzie McGuire and Even Stevens and see if I still love them like I did.
Right.
Or to see if... I'm like, what the hell? I know Hey Arnold and like the Rugrats and stuff. I feel like those you can kind of still watch.
Yeah, they're on. I know Rugrats is on Hulu and I've been watching it. And it's so weird to watch them now because when you're a kid, like the adult humor kind of goes over your head. But even just I'm now like feeling more on the adult side, like understanding where the adults are coming from or just more judging the adults. Like I'm more fixated on what the adults are doing.
And what they're saying. And yeah. Now you kind of get the jokes and you're like, what?
Right.
Like, no wonder why my parents watched this with me.
It's just like, okay, well, what's going on here? It's like, how old are Stu and Dee Dee? Like Dee Dee is, you know, and her
like
parents
your are, age now.
And I always thought like the characters, like her parents were always like these funky characters, like weird character. And I realized, oh, they're Jewish. Like, because I never grew up with anybody Jewish, but they're the very, you know, stereotypical Jewish family. Yeah. It's like, what is she talking about? You know, just it. So it's funny to like, oh, I understand what these characteristics and these stereotypes are from. And it was a very progressive show for its time.
That's so crazy. Yeah. I should watch it and see what I think. Well it's weird. Like now we're their age, not
right.
I don't know,
not closer to the kids' age.
Yeah,
like all our friends have babies this age.
Yeah,
so could you imagine losing one at a baseball park? That kind of thing. It's like, oh my god,
I know, and we wouldn't even have thought of that or like thought to focus on that.
Right,
it's nearly
like,
as
I'm
much.
Scared. Like I'm like, I'm picturing. I'm like, how would I feel like if I was in this situation?
Stressing you out?
Right, it stresses me out a little bit. But I think I don't remember if we read this or not. But we did get a message from our buddy James, or your buddy James is what we should say, your buddy James.
James.
Because on the last time he messaged us, he's telling us about this comic, BDSM comic, Sunstone. Mm-hmm. And so he did say, hey, Vicky, your buddy James here. And I have two things. One, the artist that does the comic Sunstone is Stjepan Sijic. It's a weird... It's Finnish or something like that, Norwegian.
I think
it's
you like, said it pretty well.
Right. It says, don't worry, I can't pronounce it either. And second, I have put all my extra spending money into makeup. Yes, makeup. Lately, both my daughters, 12 and 6, have been wanting to cosplay.
Oh.
And I don't, because like, I think we were also talking about, like, Sarah, what is your splurge?
Because
you don't splurge.
My splurge money.
You don't really splurge on anything. Even when you go out drinking, which is or partying, you are very conservative with your money. Like you'd rather pre-funk with boxed wine, which there's nothing wrong with that. I think
and
that's
I
awesome.
Sneak shots into my boots.
Yes.
And then I'd be like, can I just get a Diet Coke? And then you go to the bathroom and take the shots out of your boots and there you go, mixed drink for you.
That's why I bought you that bracelet that's a flask.
Yes, I love it.
So I took them down to Ulta, I think you mean Ulta.
Ulta, yes, the beauty store.
And got them makeup brushes, ring lights, a bag of wigs and face paints. Oh, my rainy day jar is empty and my bathroom looks like a makeup hurricane hit. But my daughters are happy and practicing something creative and fun. Another thing, go sometimes to Winco. Sometimes has decent brushes. Like Wet n Wild. Just because it's a fancy, expensive brush doesn't mean it's the best. Or even that doesn't mean the cheaper ones aren't good quality.
Honestly, even like the drugstores now, like Walgreens and Rite Aid, they have a fabulous makeup selection, different brands, and it's all like
different prices
coordinated. Yeah, and you can get really cheap stuff, you can get expensive stuff, but I mean, I get a lot of cheap stuff and it's actually pretty good.
I went to Winco and I bought myself two makeup brushes for under a buck each.
Hell yeah.
And I love these makeup brushes. They're like decent for like for eye shadow stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I love that you are totally behind them in their makeup endeavors. I'm curious, do you let them do your makeup or do they practice on themselves?
If that's so, also awesome because I know, I mean, 6 and 12 still seem so young to me, even like to get makeup, you know, but like nowadays, I mean, 12-year-olds have full face of makeup and Instagrams and la. So I think it's really cool that like you're like, no,
but it's cosplay. It's different though, too. Like, I mean, there's a little bit of both. I feel like you need to know a little bit of fashion makeup to do some cosplay stuff. But it's a lot of fun, especially like when I've done the Day of the Dead Skull makeup on
you
and stuff. It's just it's fun. He also says, so Vicky, you got that tattoo and Sarah, so go get that tattoo and Sarah, go get that box of wine. As long as it makes you happy and not broke, money well spent. I don't remember if we mentioned this on the last episode, but I did. I had booked my appointment for a tattoo and it was going to be for October.
Yes.
Then I realized the day I booked it is my busy, it's my day I hang out with the foster baby because my mom works long days, Wednesdays.
Oh, okay.
So I'm the one who picks him up, and my mom probably won't get home until like 6 p.m. So I would have a baby with me. And the latest I can get him, I think, is 5. And I don't think I'd be done with my tattoo at that point.
Yeah.
So I had to reschedule. And unfortunately, and fortunately, the gal who's going to be doing them, Mariana, she is super booked. And like, she's perfectly scheduled.
Yeah.
So we had to reschedule. And so it's going to be in December now.
Wow.
But because we're only, so basically the tattoos I want, it's going to be one big piece, but it's in two sections. It's like upper arm and then like middle to lower arm is another tattoo. I'm starting with the middle to lower arm.
Okay, so that will first. All be in one appointment.
Well, one cluster of appointments, because we're doing them in, depending how my body reacts to getting tattooed. Because mm-hmm. sometimes, depending on where my tattoos are, I will swell up.
Yeah.
And I have no control over it. We try witch hazel and I just bruise and swell up.
So, are you doing color or black and white?
Black and gray.
Ooh,
that's what it's called. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, I've told her do 100%. This is kind of the idea I want, but 100% you. Add what you want.
Whoa, that takes some trust.
I mean, that's kind of what I did with my other one, the one I got from my other buddy.
So it's just black and gray. So there's no. So I know like you do an outline and then you usually do shade it and stuff. Yeah. So you would do the outline, kind of see how you're doing and then maybe start shading.
Yeah. And if there's, we're planning for about 3 hours of actual tattooing. One thing that people don't take into account or don't get when you go to a tattoo appointment, they think they're paying for as many hours as you are there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was in the tattoo shop for a total of like 6 hours. I'm going to pay for the 6 hours. Like, no. A good tattoo shop will charge you for the time that you are getting tattooed.
Yeah, because you have breaks and stuff.
Yeah, the breaks or the tattoo artists. Most tattoo artists I've met smoke.
Yep, smoke breaks.
So they have this. They have multiple smoke breaks, or sometimes you need to stop for food. Like you need
or you just need to chill for a sec.
Exactly. So they do not. They actually time it on the time, like based on how long you're under the needle.
Got it. Well, that's good. So, and this could be like a Thanksgiving Christmas gift.
I know. It'd be my Christmas gift to me. Yeah. So I'm going to start. I'm looking for Christmas presents for the rest of my family now.
Jesus. I don't even plan that in advance.
Oh, I do. Just like so I can start figuring out, okay, how much is this going to cost?
Mm-hmm.
So I can at least put that aside too.
Did she give you a quote for how much she thinks the whole thing is going to be?
Yeah, she did. Like for both tattoos, it's going to be a decent chunk of change. And she.
Like what?
I don't want to say because she's given me a friend rate.
What would not be the friend rate?
I think they're closer to $200 an hour.
Not friend rate?
Not friend rate.
And so how many hours do you think your whole thing's going to take?
We're hoping this first one is, including shading, top 6 hours.
Oh, that's not bad. That's only like 2 appointments.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. Yeah, 3. Like, and if it's going smoothly, my arm's reacting fine, then we'll just keep going and it can be less.
And then your upper part would be the same amount, probably?
About there, yeah.
So, like,
I mean, that one might have more details, so it might be 3 appointments and maybe, like, two hours each, maybe 3. Like, it just depends.
Like, 12 to 18 hours.
Yeah, of total. Tattooing.
Oh, my God, my arm hurts just thinking about it. I've never had a tattoo.
Yeah, well, like, we're going to do the first one first. And she's like, do you want to schedule the next one shortly after? I'm like, I want to wait a couple months after.
Oh, yeah.
Just to... And I'm sure, I'll have enough money to do it, but I want to make sure, like, I have everything in time for Christmas.
So well, and, like, chill your arm out for a little bit.
Yeah, because the first appointment is, like, beginning of December.
Mm-hmm.
Second appointment's, like, 3 weeks later.
Oh, that's kind of perfect.
Yeah, so you have time to heal, and then they'll continue.
Yeah.
And so it's all around the same time. So once that's over, I'll wait maybe, like, next late winter, early spring. Maybe, like, March, April. Mm-hmm. Maybe around tax time.
Right? Get your tax return back and then be like, woo!
This is it. So, yeah, I'm excited for tattoos.
It's exciting.
But I do want to, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I kind of wanted to get your opinion on this.
Okay.
I recently came across this article, and it's on like realsimple.com, which I believe is also a magazine. And basically the title of it says, no, I don't want to contribute to your honeymoon crowdfunding campaign. And it says, the gal goes on to describe, a friend of mine recently got engaged, and while I'm thrilled for him and his wonderful fiance, truly she is the best, that means daily conversations about the early stages of planning a big wedding.
Mm-hmm.
How many guests should be? How many should we invite? Should we invite 100? What are we thinking of capping it at night? Blah, 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 blah. So eventually the conversation turned to gifts, and when he said they were thinking of putting together a crowdfunding campaign for their honeymoon as a honey fund, I immediately went off. The nerve. Not only is he being super tacky, but no one actually does this, right? And it turns out a lot of people do, more specifically entitled millennials who are getting married later in life and already have everything they need. Why register for a second crock pot when you can have an experience? Like, mm-hmm. sites... Like so they're talking about GoFundMe, but there are actual sites that you can hook up with your wedding page. So a lot of people have wedding pages.
Yeah, my friend did it, the wedding that I just was in. She had one. And it's really weird. You just give money, pretty much.
Basically, you, and the cool thing, I think, or what I've seen people do, it's like, hey, book for a couple's massage or book, you know, on a boat ride.
It's just all random, though. At least the site that she was on, it said, like, we're going to go golfing. Donate this much to our golf trip. And you're like, are you really going to go? And they're like, no, you just have to pick stuff, activities that you say you're going to do. But it's all just money that goes into a fund.
Which, I mean.
And I'm like, oh, so you're not even going to go golfing?
I think that makes you feel better. Like,
yeah, saying like, oh, they're going to go scuba diving or something. Like, that's so cool.
Instead of just saying I gave money, it's like I gave them an experience.
That they might not experience.
And it says, where does my anger stem from? My Midwest mother. She practically beat common courtesy into me growing up, and with that came the understanding that it's just bad manners to directly ask people for money, no matter what situation. And asking for money on a website for a lavish vacation you can't afford is akin to charging an admission fee to your wedding. Here's where this is kind of stupid to me. Isn't it the same thing as having a registry? Like going to Target and registering for gifts, or going to Amazon and registering for gifts that way. It's, I think, the same thing. You're basically asking for stuff.
Something. I think there is a little bit of a difference. I mean, I can see it for when I get gifts to people, I want to get them a gift.
Right.
And so for me getting a gift card, I've always felt weird about it. Maybe because you know exactly how much you spent on it. You know, like that kind of like, here's just, but for some reason, giving cash is even weirder than just giving a gift card. Like, it's very strange. I don't know why I think like that, but I feel like a lot of people do, but I still don't know why.
And I mean, and don't get me wrong, I love, would rather receive a gift, even though I'm really bad at receiving gifts, like, than a gift card. Like, on Christmas, it's like, as nice. Like, my family just came to town. My aunt, or my grandmother bought t-shirts, a couple t-shirts for my brother, a couple shirts for my mom, a couple shirts for my dad, and she came to me, and she's just like, I didn't know what to get you. Because I don't know your size and your style, really. And I'm like, honestly, Grandma, I don't even know my size and style half the time. I'm like, this looks okay. Oh, it fits okay.
It's black. All right.
Yeah. Or dark gray.
Yeah.
Like I'm wearing now. It's like, I don't know. So she's like, here's a couple bucks. I know it's not a bunch, but get yourself your shirt.
Yeah,
that's in my tattoo fund, by the way.
Yes, you didn't get yourself a shirt.
Yeah, I got myself a sleeve.
Hey, there you go.
Close enough.
Would you rather get a gift that they really wanted to give you, but you're never either going to wear or use, or a gift card?
A gift card, honestly, would be more, what's the word?
Useful for
more
you.
More useful. But there's stuff that my grandpa has bought me, and he's not all there yet. He's between a stroke, and he got into a bad accident last year. He's not all there.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what he wants to say. He just can't spit words out. He can't really communicate what he wants to, what he's feeling and what he wants to say. But he's always been kind of odd. Like, one year he got me this little robot keychain, and I still have it. Like, I refuse to get rid of it. Like, I still have it. But then he also got me, out of the blue, he bought me a little parakeet robot toy.
Oh.
And I'm just like, I mean, granted, I don't see you very often, but I've never expressed interest in birds.
Yeah.
Or toys like this. Like, I mean, but it's like.
And I'm not like five, so.
It's just like, but I appreciate it. And it's like, I'm glad that he's like, I know it's not much. I know it's kind of weird, but I saw this. And for some reason, I thought of you and I wanted to get it to you. And I'm like, I will always appreciate that. Is it useful to me? Is it helpful? Not like,
but
really.
But I'd prefer an Amazon gift card.
I'm like, thanks, we could have just got a coffee, or you could have gotten me like a little dessert or something. Like, it's just... And it sucks. I feel horrible saying that kind of thing, but it's.
Yeah.
I mean, like, people can't afford weddings. Why? Like, it's
I saw something which I'm curious your opinion on. So the honeymoon thing, whoever invented it, I think is brilliant, honestly, because weddings are ridiculously expensive. And so are honeymoons. Yeah. So, and a lot of people nowadays already live with each other, already have every kitchen appliance you could want, a bed. They ought to have it. I saw something on the internet people are doing, and they're having people donate money to their wedding.
Oh.
Yes. So it's not for the honeymoon. It's specifically for the wedding. So you go on the site or whatever and say like, oh, yeah, here's $100 that's going to go towards the open bar or the DJ or the whatever. And I was like, that's fascinating.
I don't know how I feel about that. I mean,
because I mean, like, if you think about it, each person is, if you went to like a restaurant, each person would be like $100 each, let's say, or something for a good wedding. So I'm like, huh, what if everyone just like contributed to them going to the wedding.
I guess for me, it depends on how lavish the wedding is and how much they're expecting each person to donate. Because I've seen the horror stories of women freaking out on Facebook. And we might have read one, too. This one gal, she was mad because she was expecting each guest to come in and give them $1,000 as a gift.
What?
And she was so mad when people couldn't give them the small gift of $1,000 and she couldn't have the wedding of her dreams.
Where does this lady
like,
live?
She
Damn.
Went full on psycho because her friends are like, no, you're dumb. We're not doing
no
this.
No one's coming to your wedding.
No, screw you.
I think it would be like a website where you would choose yourself how mm-hmm. much. Because I was thinking about it, and like my friend who just got married, she did the whole honeymoon thing, but it's all just money that goes into a fund, and she doesn't have a honeymoon planned yet. She does, so I'm like, technically, they could just take all that money and it could
go to a down payment for a house,
exactly, or go back into what they lost when they had their wedding. Because I was like, this wedding was probably X amount of dollars, and I'm like, I wonder how much crap all together, gift cards, bridal shower, everything total. Like, I wonder if it is kind of even, actually.
Yeah. And I mean, nowadays, like, and I made the mistake of starting to read articles about finances and how hard it is for people our generation.
Oh, that probably made you feel great.
Yeah, it made me feel pretty awesome that I didn't graduate. I didn't finish college because it was basically talking like all these horror stories of like, I don't want to say kids because they're adults, they're our age or older. Mm-hmm. Like one woman, she's like, I finished paying off my student loans yesterday. I graduated 22 years ago.
Oh,
how messed up is that?
Can you get a house and stuff and cars with student loans? I don't know how much they like.
I mean, depends. It all comes down to your debt to income ratio. I know it's a big.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Basically, it says how much are you paying on student loans, but how much money are you making? And they do a lot of calculating your loan officers and stuff like that, seeing could you afford this or what could you afford? Because that's when they give you that loan estimate.
Like on top of paying your debt off. Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they looked at for me when I was buying a house. They saw, okay, well, you're paying off your car, so that's this much money a month. And then they were looking at also my bank accounts. It's very invasive, by the way, the process of buying a house.
I don't think I like that.
No, you would not like it. Because they go through your accounts. You have to send them your records for the last like 3 months or 30 days, like what you're spending your money on.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very invasive because it's this company that's loaning you hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So if you were like 100 grand in debt, and you were paying, let's say, like $500 off a month or something. Mm-hmm. So they would take all of that into consideration. Mm-hmm. So what if you weren't paying any of your debt off?
I think they would also be like, oh, you're a risky person because you're not paying your bills. Because when you don't pay your bills,
it's
or you
just
pay
another
them late,
bill pretty much that you're paying.
Yeah. So if you don't pay your bill, for example, or you're late on your payments, that reflects in your credit score.
Yeah.
And so that just messes up your credit score. And that gives, like, the reason why I was able to get my house for the price is because my credit score was pretty freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's so weird, too, because you have to have, like, a specific amount of credit. Because I know my brother got in a car accident and totaled his car. Mm-hmm. And so my brother has good credit. So he was just going to buy a car. So then he does payments on it or something. But his credit wasn't good enough. Like, credit.
Do you know what his number was?
I have no idea. But apparently it's like, it's good, but I don't think he had enough credit to have the resume of him being able to pay off credit that well because he hadn't had that much credit.
Right.
I don't know. It's very weird. So it was easier and cheaper for my dad just to sign it because my dad has had years and years and years of credit and paying stuff off. I don't know.
It's a very invasive question, but I want to ask him what his credit score is.
I honestly have no idea, and I honestly don't even know mine. All I know is that I'm supposed to spend a specific amount on my credit card, and then it gets taken out each month.
It just automatically pays it off.
Yeah.
Side note, I did make a big purchase recently.
Oh, no.
For my house.
Couch?
Nope.
Oh.
Something I need more than a freaking couch.
More than a couch. And I'm great. Wait, don't tell me.
I have a
fridge.
I had a free cash. No, I already bought that.
You already have a fridge?
Mm-hmm.
More important than that, it's a TV.
No.
Oh, what?
AC.
Oh, yeah, I guess that is more important
like
nowadays.
Three something it cost me.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's a portable unit, so I could take it with me wherever I go.
And so it's just going to be in like one room?
Mm-hmm, and it's basically for upstairs. So if I leave all the doors open in my upstairs area and I have it in my living room, it's going to cool off.
It goes everywhere.
I mean, it won't be as cool as obviously the living room, but I unpacked it and did it all a couple days ago.
How big is
it?
Like, is it actually really portable?
It's about the height of maybe a mini fridge, but it's smaller. Like, it's thinner.
So you can easily just carry it.
Yeah, I could carry it. It comes with a little bag, so you can cover it when it's the off season, but it also doubles as a heater, as a humidifier.
So if you're going to go downstairs, let's say, to cook, right? Your kitchen's downstairs. You can take it down there with you.
I could if I wanted to. It's just a pain in the ass because you have to, you open up the window and it has this little bar thing in a hose. Basically, it like shoots all the hot air out of the window is basically what it does. So I have to like quote unquote install it. It's not really an install, but it's just it's a pain.
It wouldn't just be like.
But either way, heat tends to rise. So my upstairs is always hotter than my downstairs.
Same in my house.
So I just have fans downstairs. It's fine.
Dude, nice.
So I'm just like, I can't do this. Because my room when I lived in a townhouse was so freaking hot.
Sweaty balls.
In my bedroom, I was like, I'm not doing this again. I'm an adult.
I'm an adult and I need an AC unit.
And I need it. Mostly because I'm like, I don't want to be uncomfortable in my house.
Yeah, and it's gonna get pretty hot.
Yeah, so I am very glad I made this investment.
I know my dad got one a few years ago for our house, and I thought it was like the most stupid thing ever. I was like, it's hot once a month, like out of the entire year. Dad, we don't need this. And now I'm like, thank God we have this. It's the best thing ever.
Is it like a little portable unit or is it an actual AC throughout the house?
Throughout the house.
Because my parents, go ahead.
And I'm downstairs, and so my room gets freezing because I'm like in a basement. And I'm like, it's so cold. My boyfriend loves it because he works outside, so he's like dripping sweat every day. And I'm just like, that's too cold.
And that's what my parents did, and they had they were spending like a ridiculous amount of money because the heating. The heating and unit and stuff like that in the house was so old that they were spending like over the holidays. I remember like one like winter. For like 2 months, they spent $900.
Jesus.
And now they're like, we're spending a fraction of that on heating and cooling. And so everything that they were spending, like they just put that back into the payment. And also like when they go to sell it, it's going to like up the value.
That big chunk.
It's going to be like, I can't wait for them to sell their house. I don't want them to sell my childhood home. But at the same time, like, I want to see how much money you could get.
Right. Compared to what they got it for, too.
Like, and when they do, they could pay off the finish if they still need to pay off the AC and stuff like that. But it's just, it's exciting.
Woo!
Stupid what I get excited about nowadays.
Yeah.
Because I've actually.
Pretty much.
I've bought a bunch of stuff for my house. But here's the thing. I go for the deals. I scour the clearance sections.
Thrift store. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I just did a thrift store run and got a bunch of glass jars so I can put my my sugar and all my spices and stuff like
cool.
that down for like $2 each.
So like how long do you think you're going to be set up fully? 100.
I was hoping this weekend. I don't know because now I'm going to Portland.
Oh, yeah.
But
strip clubs.
Maybe Thursday I'm hoping after work run out and try to get. I'm missing one more key piece of furniture. And that's in my dad's storage unit. And it's heavy. And it's a china cabinet.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So I have a bunch of stuff on the ground in my my dining room because that's going to go in the china cabinet.
Got it.
So I'm like, if once I get that, my downstairs will be, for the most part, done.
Woohoo!
I just have random things I need. I need a rug for my my dining room.
Oh, yeah. Just like little stuff like that.
Yeah. But it's still like big chunks of money here and there. It's like, $50 to $80 on a rug, like, because that's how
it
much they
all
cost.
Adds up.
That's how much a freaking rug costs.
I know, right? Stupid.
Anywho, but we'll let you guys go, and thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, bye.